Let's turn to the little epistle of Jude. It's way over in the back of your Bible just before Revelation. One chapter. That one chapter contains a very great message. But I just want to notice two verses of it tonight. The 20th and the 21st verses. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now the central thought in these verses is keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the important thing. For saints to continue to be saints. For saved folks to continue right on being saved. For people who possess the love of God to hold on to it. Maintain their experience and relationship in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There are some things that will rob us of the love of God or cause the love of God to wax cold in our hearts. And those things are to be religiously avoided by Christian people. And it is by avoiding those things that we shall keep ourselves in the love of God. Now he lays down a recipe here, a formula, by which every individual that's in the love of God can keep himself there by just following three basic principles. Building, praying, and looking. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, if we'll just diligently follow these three things and pursue a course diligently along these three lines, we will certainly keep ourselves in the love of God. The first thing mentioned is building. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith in this text does not refer to the action of the soul that reaches out and takes hold on the promises of God and makes them effective and working in your behalf. That isn't the kind of faith that he's referring to in this text. But faith in this text refers to the cycle of truths that was delivered to us by Jesus and perpetuated by his apostles and their successors on down the line, even to men of God today. Now, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. We have a text in Ephesians 2:20. Says, ye are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We do not suppose from that text that he is referring to the apostles and prophets being literal foundation stones in a literal building, and Jesus Christ being a literal cornerstone in a literal building. That isn't it. People, in failing to discern the spiritual elements involved, miss the mark. They miss the whole thing. But the way we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, is that we are built upon those principles of truth. They're the foundation of our faith. We build right up on them. Those things that Christ taught us and that his apostles continued to teach us after him. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, we're built upon that. That's the foundation of our faith. And that is a solid foundation. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter and verse 7, he says, rooted and built up in him, in Christ, and established in the faith of God, the truth, the doctrines of the gospel, of the word of God, established in that. Firmly fixed in the doctrines of the word of God. Rooted and built up in him. We are to build up ourselves in Christ. We are to work at this continually. A man that's a builder by trade, he just keeps working at the building business. And he tries to keep things lined out all the time, one job right after another, so that he can stay busy all the time. You and I are builders. Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in the last verses of that chapter, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, it's like a man that built a house. We're all building a house. Every one of us are builders. Some houses stand, some fall. It'll be the same with us. But he said, if we hear the sayings of Jesus and do them, that's the way we build, folks. That's the way we build the solid superstructure of our Christian experience, is by hearing the words of Jesus and doing them. He's like a wise man that built a house, laid the foundation on a rock, the floods descended, the winds came, and the storms beat vehemently against that house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. Settled on the rock, the impregnable rock of eternal truth, the doctrines of God's Word. Some people are not very interested in doctrine and doctrinal sermons. But doctrine is an important part of God's Word, and it is on the doctrines of God's Word that we build our faith and that we establish our experience in him. Told about another man that was building. Without a foundation, he built his house on the sand. He heard God's word, but he didn't do it. I was just noticing last night in another translation, Our King James Version says in the last days that people will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. This translation says they will go to church, yes, but only few will believe anything they hear. There'll just not be many folks take it to heart. They'll just not believe it much. And so it is, we hear God's word, but we don't do it, we don't believe it, we don't apply it to ourselves, and that is building on the sand without a foundation. And the winds blew and the storms came and the floods beat vehemently against that house and it fell. For it was built upon the sand. That's the reason it fell. We are instructed in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 10 to 15 will cover the whole thought there, but maybe I won't deal with the whole thought. It says that as a wise master builder, first, let me, I'm beginning a little too far down, says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But I have laid the foundation, Paul says, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now the foundation is laid, the gospel is preached, the word of God is settled and established, and we hear the preaching of the gospel, and when the truth is preached to us, the foundation is laid, and we are to build on that, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We are to build our experience on the things that God's word teaches us. But he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Any man, all men, every one of us, we're all going to build in some kind of fashion on that foundation. We're either going to hear God's word and do it, or we're going to hear God's word and not do it. And we are witnesses to the fact, you and I are, witnesses to the fact that many go to church today and don't believe what they hear. They just set light by it and continue on in their own way. They're building. Everybody's building. But he says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in the 15th verse, he says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in the process of building, certain things go into certain places. And we don't put the concrete that goes in the foundation up here in the roof. That belongs in the foundation. Not supposed to be any concrete up here in the roof. The building, the roof will be heavy enough without concrete up there. But the concrete goes in the foundation, and then you build on up studs and subfloor, the under part of the construction, and everything goes on the foundation, and then the studs go up, and the joists go in, and the trusses go up, and the roof goes on, and so on, but you don't put the roof on first. People to build have to know how to build. and people to build a good, solid superstructure of their Christian experience needs to know how to build, how to handle God's Word, how to put God's Word together, and how to fit every part of it in its proper place to make it fit into our lives and accomplish in our lives what needs to be accomplished. Some parts of God's Word won't fit in some parts of our lives. It has a place. All of it will fit someplace. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, every bit of it, but we can't apply some of it to some parts of our lives. It applies somewhere else to some other area of our lives. And as we're building, we need to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother George Harmon told about being called one time when he lived over in Missouri in the early day to build a barn for a farmer over there. And so he was quite busy and had to put the man off. And finally, he could see daylight through, and so he told the man, says, "You get your material on the ground, and I'll be over there a certain time to start your building your barn." Well, he went over there at the appointed time, and he said to the fellow, says, "Have you gotten your material here?" "Yes, I got material out there." Well, he went out and looked over the material, and it was all roofing material. That's all he had out there. Brother Harmon said he kind of scratched his head and said, "Now, let's see." He said, "How is it you want me to go about this now? You want me to build the roof and then jack it up and build the building under the roof?" Well, that's the only kind of material he had there. He just didn't know what it took to build. He just didn't understand the building business. And he started at the top instead of the bottom. You have to start a building from the bottom. And folks, if you and I are going to build a good building for our superstructure of our Christian experience, we need to start at the bottom. We need to start digging and digging till we strike solid rock and lay the foundation there and build on up. We have an example of building in the first chapter of 2 Peter. It says, "Beside this, giving all diligence," it begins about verse 5, I believe, "giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to virtue and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," and so on. "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Brother George Harmon used to call that the seven-story and basement Christian experience. And it's a matter of building and building, and faith is the fundamental basic foundation of it, and on our faith we build up ourselves in virtue and temperance and godliness and charity and brotherly kindness and all the different things that go into the building of a Christian experience. And when we get a building built like that, that's a great step toward keeping ourselves in the love of God. Now in the 20th chapter of Exodus, I want to notice a verse here, the 25th verse. Says, "And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." Now we all understand, I suppose, that the Old Testament system constituted a type of the New Testament system. And that system was a shadow of the things of which we have the reality. The literal things there were a type of the spiritual things. This altar was a type of Christ. It talks about building an altar. An altar suggests the thought of sacrifice, of offering, of worship. That's where the worship is carried on, is at the altar. Now he said, if thou build me an altar of stones, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones. Let us look again now at the second chapter of Ephesians in verse 20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now those, what we are built on, the foundation here, are the principles of truth, and what he refers to as stones here, building an altar of stones, involves our building an altar on which we worship God in our own hearts, out of those stones of truth, those principles of divine truth that are delivered to us through the gospel, through the word of God. Now he said, ye shall not build it of hewn stones, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now what would thy tool be? Thy tool would be human reasoning. Your tool would be worldly wisdom. Your tool might be theological and academic learning. Whatever it might be that you apply in interpreting God's word, that would be your tool. But he said, if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. Now we have another text in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 5th verse. He says, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon it. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Now the altar that we worship God upon in our own hearts, we build this altar right in our own hearts where our worship is done. He said, it shall be built of whole stones. The text in Exodus 20 and 25 said, over which no man hath lifted up any tool or any iron. Well, somebody says, this man's a DD. This man's a double LD. This man is a noted person. He's a great theologian. He's a great teacher of the Bible. And so on. He says so and so. God does not give any man the right to tamper with his word in any kind of way, over which no man has lifted up any tool. However learned he may be, however many degrees he may have, he does not have a right to tamper with God's word and to apply his own thoughts and his human wisdom and worldly learning to the principles of God's truth. Just build it of whole stones. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. In other words, just take the principles of truth as God gives them in his word without any shaping or chiseling or chopping them or anything. Just the whole stones, just like God gives them to us in his word. Now that's what we build with. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. You are not to apply any tool to it, but as the Holy Spirit interprets it to your heart, accept that. One brother said to me one time, he said, Brother Wilson, do you know what I think, or do you know what's the worst spirit that we have to deal with in the world today? Well, I said, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what you're thinking of. He says it's the I think spirit. Now, folks, that's pretty hard to deal with, the I think spirit. I think this and I think that. Well, God's word may say so-and-so, but I think so-and-so. One woman said to Opal and me one time, she had called us to come to her home to discuss a point of scripture with her and some different things. So we went over there and sat down with our open Bibles. This woman with her open Bible and Opal had hers and I had mine. Three open Bibles right there. Turning from scripture to scripture to scripture right on down the line. And finally, this woman said to us, she said, well, said, I know that the way you folks are presenting this and what these scriptures that you're putting forth here, they seem clearly to teach so-and-so, but this is the way I believe it, so what are we going to do about it? She just stayed with how she believed it. Acknowledge that what you folks are putting out is a clear case, but I believe it this way. And so the I think spirit is a pretty difficult spirit to deal with. But we're not to lift up that tool on God's word either. It's just to be the whole stones of truth, just like God delivered them to us without any diluting, without any compromise, without any tangents off here or off there, or applying anything to it, just accepting the whole truth, the principles of truth, as He has delivered them to us. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Do you know where people are worshiping God like this? In spirit and in truth, there's something to eat there. Their souls will be fed, they'll be edified, they'll be built up, and they'll be rejoicing in their souls and in their knowledge of their relationship with God. Thou shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Now there's a little switch right here. We've been speaking of the stones as the principles of truth. But that isn't the only thing that's referred to in God's word as stones. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 5th verse, he refers to you also as lively stones. You're the stones now, are built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Christ Jesus. Now that's transferring the literal right over into the spiritual and bringing the type right over into the antitype and the shadow right over into the substance. And we're the stones now. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. You and I are stones in the building of God. And now the thought involved here is that you and I must stand definitely committed in our hearts to every principle of truth taught in the New Testament. and have that written in our hearts and in our minds. God said, I will write my law in their hearts and put them in their minds. All the words of this law, very plainly. You may not know all the principles of truth in this New Testament. I may not. I'm pretty sure I don't yet. But I'm pursuing them. I'm going after them. And there's no doubt principles and things in there that I haven't uncovered and discovered yet. But I'm pursuing. But it isn't a matter of how much you know or whether you know it all or not. But it's a matter of the commitment in your heart. And as you and I stand definitely committed in our hearts to every principle of truth taught in the New Testament, God can lead us and God can teach us the ways of the Lord. We're talking about building. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Now, actually, you don't do building upon your most holy faith by memorizing the Scriptures. It's a blessing to know the Scriptures. But that's not the way that you do your building. You may memorize the Scriptures. You may be able to give chapter and verse. You may be able to recite long passages of Scripture. But actually, you have done no building in your Christian experience until you accept those principles of truth in your heart and make them a part of your lives. That's the way the building process goes on. It isn't the things we know, it's the things we do. And by just accepting, submitting ourselves, accepting those principles of truth into our hearts and making them a part of our lives, that we do our building. I read an account one time of an incident in the Sikh War, I believe in India. And it said a company of soldiers locked up their commanding officer in a high tower and went out to fight the battle on their own principles. They got a miserable beating. They were wonderfully defeated. But is that not a picture of many, many in the professed Christian world today? They lock up the Scriptures and the principles of truth in the high tower of respect, so to speak, and just go out to carry on their work in their own way. The only result that can come from that is miserable defeat and ultimate destruction. But it is as we accept the principles of divine truth into our hearts and make them a definite part of our lives that we are building on our most holy faith. All right, the next thing he mentions is praying. Building, praying, looking. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a different matter from making a speech. There are some prayers that just amount to a oratory to God. Just a big, beautiful, flowery speech to God. That's about what they amount to. They're pleasing to the ear. They're nice to listen to, They're well constructed. They are grammatically correct. They flow freely and well. But when that's said, that's about it. But the praying of the most ignorant person in the Holy Ghost will surpass in its effect and in its power any of those kind of prayers from the most learned and eloquent men. You and I need to learn the art. It is an art. But we need to learn the art of praying in the Holy Ghost. Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 15, he said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Praying in the Holy Ghost will produce results. We're told in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 26, he says, we know not what to pray for as we ought. And who is there among us that would say that we did? God's Word says we don't. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That'll bring results. That kind of praying will gain victories. Victories praying in the Holy Ghost. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians in verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's important. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. A real prayer in the Holy Ghost is just like opening the alabaster box, and the odor thereof, of the perfume, just fills the whole house. And it'll bring blessings to your soul. It'll bring victories to your life. It'll bring power over all the powers of the enemy to learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying without the Holy Ghost, we're likely to miss the mark. I mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning when the thoughts were kind of running along that line about Brother Trimble down at Pomona. He went in to pray about something, and he was real burdened about this matter, real concerned there. He wanted to get a hold of God about that. He wanted victory in that. In his prayer, he told God, he said, now, God, you know that I have my own thoughts about this and I have my own desires here, but don't you pay a bit of attention to that. He said, you just take a hold of this and work this out according to the counsel of your own will. And by midnight that night, the victory came to him. Turned things around. Made them work different. What the plan was for them to work. Just turned it right square around. God undertook. He knew how to undertake. And when he got something in his hands like that, we have a text in 1 John the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. Now, there could not be any question at all in that kind of prayer that Brother Trimble prayed that time about it being according to God's will, because he just put it right there on the will of God. He says, I've got my thoughts, I've got my desires, but don't you pay a bit of attention to that. You just go right ahead and work according to the counsel of your own will. And God took a hold of that and turned things around and brought victory in that case. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now this sums up to this right here in this text. And I'll get another one before I bring that point, in the 5th chapter of James and 16th verse. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now this is all summing up to the fact that if you're going to pray, you must be living your prayers. Pray, let your prayers pass right out through your own heart, just the way you're living. Pray with a life back of it, with a commitment back of it, with fervency of spirit in it, with effectiveness in praying. That is produced by having confidence in God and submitting ourselves to the will of God, praying according to his will. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And that brought him victory. When he submitted to God, angels came and ministered unto him and sustained him and strengthened him and helped him through. The next thing is looking. Much more could be said about praying, but time's about running out on us here, so I'm going to talk a few minutes about looking. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? Now, folks, he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep looking. While you're building, while you're praying, keep looking. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When you're in the depths of trial, keep looking for the victory. Keep expecting deliverance, trusting in God to bring the answer to your prayers and to bring you out. And in the final end, that he will manifest his mercy in delivering you out of all of this and taking you into a state of eternal life with him. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And now, folks, I can tell you this, and I believe this, and I believe this works with me, and I believe it'll work with you too, that there's nothing that will help you quite so much in your times of vital decisions and in your times of extreme test and trial than to just keep your eyes envisioned yonder and to realize the day of God's coming. There's a day of deliverance right on down ahead. And whatever decision I make now, the day of God's going to come right on down there, and I'll have to meet it according to the decision that I make now. Don't ever lose sight of that. Keep that right in your mind. Keep looking for the coming of the day of God. Perhaps there's nothing that is quite so effective in keeping you and me on course than the realization that judgment day is right down ahead. I don't know when I'll reach it, whether it'll be today, tomorrow, next year, however far it be, but it's right down ahead. Somewhere along on a highway, someone had put up a sign. And it was where there were some other road signs. And there were the names of certain towns there with a figure after them, and that indicated that this town is so many miles, and another town with another figure is so many miles, and in another direction, another town and a figure, and then so many miles that way to that town. But there wasn't any figure after this. It just said eternity straight ahead. No figure. No one knew any figure to put up there. Whether it be today, tomorrow, 10 years ahead, 50 years ahead, whenever it is, but it's straight ahead of every one of us. Eternity straight ahead. Keep that in mind. Keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In Titus, the second chapter, verse 11, says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Peter said, seeing that all of these things will be dissolved, everything literal is coming to an end, and everything material will come to an abrupt combustion. Said, "What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" This text says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And it'll help you a great deal in doing that. In times of stress and strain and persecution and tribulation and troubles of whatever kind, to just keep your eyes focused and your mind on the fact there's a judgment day right on down ahead. And that judgment day is a day of deliverance if I make the right choice now. It's a day of judgment if I make the wrong choice. Then he proceeds in the 13th verse, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. Somebody told us down south while we were down there, said they were just praying for the Lord to just come and put a stop to things. Things just getting worse every day. And said they prayed that openly in the prayer meeting one time just recently for the Lord to come. And they received some rebuff for that. And folks talking about how many are lost and many need to be saved and this and that. And you praying for the Lord to come. But she was just thinking of the other side. She was thinking of the trouble shaping up and the wickedness abounding and people being deceived and led astray and different things. Lord, just come and put a stop to it. looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. One brother, I made a little hike with him up the mountain. I was staying at his place over in northwestern New Mexico and was having a meeting up there. This has been a good many years back. And so we took a little hike up the mountain to take some supplies to his son who was in a sheep camp up there in the mountains. And so he was telling me about some of his woes and his troubles and how people had treated him and wrongs that had been done him. And finally he just stopped abruptly and he says, "Oh, well," he said, "what difference does it make? At the judgment I'll get rid of all of it." Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not a bit of this trouble you're having now will extend beyond the judgment. The mercy, the day of deliverance, the abundance of grace, just keep your mind on that. Keep your eye on the goal. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Keep that in mind. I'm talking about keeping yourself in the love of God. And then finally he said, in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 17, he said, "These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while..." While, that's an important word right there. While. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal." Oh, the vision of the spiritual and eternal things of God's a very important factor in you and me keeping ourselves in the love of God. Building, praying, looking. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen.